The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
Still can't get her to slow down. Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about, well, just about everything. About the fabric of our life viewed through some very unusual lenses. The lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up in a new manner. We call it Armadoxy, and we invite you to look through these lenses. We invite you to sit back and enjoy this podcast right now, which is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, of course we are ready. We are energized. We are pumped up. Just back from Las Vegas, from the Blog World Expo, New Media Expo. And we did see a lot. We're going to be sharing that with you today. We are excited, pumped up about it. But probably the excitement that you hear in my voice right now is that we just went through this big earthquake drill over here. We are broadcasting today from the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, directly across from three big schools in the Glendale School District, Glendale, California, of course. And there's a lot of kids just like yelling and screaming. Today happens to be an earthquake drill, not only for the school kids, but I understand throughout California. Last night at our Questions of Faith, we had a couple of the attendees tell us that right in downtown, they're going to be, the one was on the 17th floor, the other on the 37th floor of a high-rise building, and many high-rises here. And you know, these buildings are built on rollers. I've been in one. I've been in a hospital, I think in an 8-9 story building, and when an earthquake killed, relatively small earthquake, yeah, 5 point something. Yes, we call that relatively small over here in California. And when that earthquake hit, I'll never forget, the building actually rolled for a good 10 minutes. It went back and forth and back and forth, rather nauseating, you know, and reminiscent of, you know, that boat that goes from Long Beach to Catalina. You know, if you make it to Catalina with your stomach settled, you're okay. But more often than not, that's not the case. Anyway, these buildings are built on rollers and they go back and forth and back and forth. So today is California-wide drill. That's how we prepare for it. I know some of you, your natural disasters, you get some time to prepare for it. I mean, you see a hurricane coming and you can board up the house, or you see a tornado, you get out of its way. For us in California, those earthquakes, you can never know. I don't care what they tell you. You know, the supposedly dogs could feel it, supposedly people can predict, you never know when it's going to hit. All of a sudden it hits, the earth shakes, and then it's over. That's the good part about it. It's over until the next one that comes. So that's how we deal with it. And I guess today they're doing some kind of a drill to get a new generation of people. It's been a while since a big earthquake has hit us in California. I think the last one was 1994, the Northridge quake, and of course 1989. It was just right around this time of year. It was during the World Series. I was in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and that was the Bay Area World Series. You remember that one? Yeah. It was, I believe, October 17th, 1989. The Giants. Yes, again, the Giants. They were playing the Oakland A's. And during one of the games of the World Series, the earth began to rumble. And man, that was wild. That was a big one too. Close to 7 point or something. Anyway, this is how we prepare, and that's what's going on right now. So as I'm talking right now, if you hear some commotion in the background, do not panic. Do not be alarmed. It's just one of the rituals that we Californians go through. Anyway, another big ritual is this Thursday morning, getting together and spending this time on the next step. I hope it's going to be pleasant for you because we are looking forward to it. We've got the whole crew over here. We've got Ani with her bubbles, and we've got Susie producing it, and Ken behind the smoke-colored glass. He got the last plane back. I can't believe it. He did it. I got to tell you this. All right, before we go to this song, let me tell you, because I'm going to tell you about Blog World anyway, but on the last day of Blog World, we got into the cars and we're ready to head back. There's like people going back. Some people decided to stay in Las Vegas, and Ken's not around. And then we get late at night, we get word that, you know, he's on flight from Las Vegas to back to Los Angeles, but via Reno. And so I don't know what was going on in Reno, but he made the rounds of Nevada. So anyway, it's great to have him back too. Really, it is. Don't look so surprised. Don't look so surprised. We're really happy to have you back here, even though you're not disclosing the reasons why you had to go through Reno, but we will let our imagination run with itself. Hey, listen, to all of our listeners, I know you're not here to get a travelogue from Ken. You're here for some Armenian Orthodoxy. You're here because this is the next step. You're here because, well, you're a neophyte. You're disenfranchised from the church. We keep hearing this over and over and over and over and over again. I can't tell you how many times this last couple months we've been hearing listeners tell us, write us about their how disenfranchised they feel from the mainline church, and rightly so. I mean, there are things going on in the church that you just can't understand. We have another block of listeners, you that are the neophytes. People are saying, hey, this is a logical, it's an intelligent answer to being Christian. You know, and as we've discussed this, or as I've corresponded with some of our listeners, it's becoming very evident. A lot of people, and I've got to admit it, I'm part of that group too sometimes. You're embarrassed to tell people that you're a Christian because it implies so many other things. Not that you're embarrassed by Jesus Christ. You're embarrassed by what the world has come to see as followers of Jesus Christ. Many people who are judgmental. Many people who are self-righteous, self-proclaiming. And you realize that Jesus Christ had such a pure message. And he called others hypocrites, but he never wanted us to call one another hypocrites. We needed to stand back and take a look at our lives and realize you cannot change other people. Hey, whatever relationship you have, whether it's with a husband or a wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whether it's with your child or it's with your parents, you can't change people. The only people you can change is yourself. Others have to want to change. They need to come into that realization that something's out of whack in their lives. But for your part, your best thing is to become an evangelist, to become one who speaks out about Jesus Christ. How? Not by talking about it with words, talking about it with action. To make sure that your life is in sync, is in harmony with the universe, that things are going okay for you. And once they are, people do see that. That's the power that we talk about here on this podcast. We talk about the power of love, transcending all the powers of evil, let's call it, there's a word I'm trying to look for. It's the opposite of sync. What is that? Dissync? Out of sync. You know, I think that's what people keep telling me. They just feel like everything's okay. No complaints, okay? Yeah, we could complain about the economy. We could complain about, about the money coming in and what's going on. But basically, thank God, everything's okay. But still, I feel out of sync. Still, I feel out of sync. It's like when we went to Blog World, you see how communications has moved up. And we'll talk about this in a few minutes. But what right now, I have the ability to communicate with just about everybody in the entire world. I have cell phone. I have texting on that cell phone. I have email. I have a Twitter account. I have Facebook. I am able to communicate with just about everybody. Technology has brought me to this point, right? But there's still an emptiness, isn't there? Am I happier? Am I better off than everybody else was many years ago? At Blog World in Las Vegas, we saw a bank of payphones. Remember what those were? Yeah, I know. Some people don't even remember that. There were these big old boxes. And you sat there and you'd put coins in there and you'd talk to people. They were all empty. It was wild. I took a picture of it. I'll post it. It's like a video of it. It's a long bank of payphones. And they're going unused. Well, everybody's communicating by cell phones. And how connected are we? How close do we feel to one another? The real closeness begins when hearts extend themselves to each other. When we reach out to each other physically, emotionally, spiritually. When we talk about the next step, hey, that's what we're doing. We're taking the next step. What happens in a church in the 21st century? How do we define Armenian Orthodox for the 21st century Christian? How do we define it for ourselves, for our listeners, for people who really want to say, I am a student of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian because I follow what Jesus taught. He taught us about love, about care, about reaching out to people. He didn't tell me to think myself superior. In fact, he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet as a symbol, as an example for me to serve others, for me to wash others, for me to help others. That's what it's about. And so whether you're disenfranchised from the church because this message hasn't come about, or because you are a neophyte, understanding that Christianity really does have a main branch, which is called orthodoxy, and that is the correct, or let's say the straight path, ortho. It is the straight path. Or because you engaged in a conversation with us at Blog World and you said, hey, let's check this guy out. Whatever the reason is that you're checking us out or you're with us today, welcome. And we start off each show with a song of the day. And I was thinking about it today. What do we go with? Well, remember we were talking about John Lennon being 70 and did a couple shows on him last few weeks. And turns out today is Manfred Mann's 70th birthday. It's one of the earliest songs that I tuned into. I gotta tell you, the Mighty Quinn. And then he went on to do some other stuff too, right?
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
Yes, the old rockers are getting old. It's 70 years old, Manfred Mann. Happy birthday to him. But we take it in a different beat today. Here's today's song of the day. Thank you. Did you like that? Kind of nice and airy, except that ending. What was that all about, huh? It's like, I have to prove that it's ended. Anyway, that is a performer named Chingiz Sadikov, and we will put his link or his name up on our show notes so you could follow him up. Just some little airy tune from the Caucasus. And you know, that's a group of people that when we call the Caucasians, I mean, they came from the Caucasus. And guess where that is? Hey, yeah, you're right. Right smack dab in the middle of Armenia. The Caucasus are right there. And these kind of tunes come, you know, of course, this is a piano. You don't expect to find a piano up in the mountains, but you have these airy little tunes where it's very flighty. You have a small little beat going on like that. You could dance to, you could whistle to, you could skip to. Kind of tells you where we're at emotionally today. We have just come back from the Blog World and New Media Expo in Las Vegas. It was the first time that we went up as a team, as epostle.net. I had been to the when was that? About 2007, 3 or 4 years ago, I had gone to my first Blog World Expo. And it was relatively much smaller, but it had some of the early pioneers in podcasting over there. And it was really right after that that we began the Next Step podcast. But going there this time, well, we got back looking at each other like saying, hey, you know, we gave each other a thumbs up. And I know it sounds kind of pretentious in a way, but there's good reason for it. We felt like, you know, we are already there. Definitely when it comes to the spiritual world, when it comes to the church world, we are where it's going to be in about, let's say, another year, in another 2 years. But podcasting is here right now. It is a new media, a means of getting the information out. For me, it was very exciting. I know for many of the members of the team that was with us over there, we were excited because it did signal really what evangelism is all about. I mean, true to our mission, apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. I mean, think about it for a moment. Every time evangelists have used whatever resources have been available to them. When you think of the early evangelists, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, just being able to record the life of Christ, to be able to put that down in writing so that subsequent generations can become familiar with this Prince of Peace, with this incarnation of love. When you think about what happened in the years after, someone like Mesrop Mashlots using what was available for him and putting together an alphabet so that the translation of the Holy Scriptures can take place and be available to just about everybody. But look at technology. I mean, not only when it comes to writing it down, actually writing it down, but when you look at technology, and you could think about the printing press. The first printing press made available printed copies of the scripture. And, you know, you talk about the Gutenberg Bible, you know, actually being pressed, actually being printed for what? Mass distribution. Mass distribution. There's the key. I mean, go beyond printing. I mean, look at how the church has used art. Just putting something on canvas and getting across. When you look at these frescoes, when you look at icons throughout the years, throughout the centuries, or think about something as novel as stained glass, expressing a story of Christ, using the means that you have available to you to carry on the mission. To evangelize, to get the word out. And certainly when it comes to new media, we have technology. And that technology is not something in itself. It is actually an opportunity. It is a means. It is an opportunity for us to really get our work done, whatever it may be. People use it in business. People use it in different forms. But that technology also has a place for the church. I mean, think about it. You know, the Gutenberg Bible. You look at the stained glasses that came out. You look at the means that people had. They used it to get the word out. And this technology is now in our hands. It has been delivered right now. Can we use it to get this message of hope, to get the message of love, to get the message of peace out? For me, yes, we can. And if we don't do it, Here's the part that I add to it. If we don't do it, we are really, that's the ultimate sin. Because God has given us now a gift. And for us not to use that gift, that is the ultimate sin. It's exactly the story of the man with the talents. To him who doesn't have it, even what he does have will be taken away. To the one who doesn't use it. And so you have an opportunity now. God has given you something. He's given us technology. So being out there at Blog World and seeing new media, it was just fun. Being able to talk to people who were of like minds. And beyond the fun, it was eye-opener. There were some wow moments too. And I know that Susie will agree with me. I mean, we sat there in many instances saying, hey, we are way ahead of the game. I mean, this is stuff that we were doing a couple years ago. But there were moments, and I do want to mention this. There were moments where we sat back and said, wow, this is something that we can use. We can tap into. And I think in the next few weeks, we're going to start taking advantage of some of the partnerships, some of the people that we met in Las Vegas, and have an opportunity to expand our ministry accordingly. And so I hope you're going to be receptive to that as listeners of this podcast, as followers of epostle.net. I hope you're going to be receptive to that because you're going to see some changes, some means that we're going to be exploring maybe. Not really definitely convinced that that's the way to go, but definitely exploring. Here's a little fun little moment. You know, I told you we were going to broadcast from over there. It really wasn't conducive for broadcasting. It was just too noisy. It was too many people. But we did walk around with some cameras, and we did walk around definitely with an active microphone. But there was a moment where we came up to the CPA, and you know, when you, whatever industry you're in, I know you're familiar with this. Whenever you go to a conference, there's always the opportunity to get the freebies. There's a lot of pens that are given away. But sometimes those freebies get to be fun, especially at a technology conference. And what we call the Belish effect. You know, you go and you get all the free t-shirts and pens and stuff like that. We were at the CPA booth. A group of us, listening.
Okay, so now we're standing at this booth. It's called CPA. And we are in the, it's gotten a little bit quieter, and Susie's finally relaxed a little bit. We're like signing in for CPA, so the idea is that you people who are listening to us will be able to click on some links and support Epostle by doing your purchases, by doing what you normally do, you know. So anyway, we are at this booth right now. It's kind of exciting. I just spun the wheel and won an iTunes gift card. I guess it had some good and bad news, but that was really cool. Anyway, waiting, we're getting all these things that are called the Belish. It's actually all the freebies that we get. So at this particular booth, we do have free shot glasses. So I know that Susan back at home will be very happy because we get to add to our collection. Okay, now we are gonna spin, and Here she goes, okay? Here goes the spin.
This is the fun part.
Sing Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
All right. This is like really cool. What if we just stay here all day?
I know, and they told me they got a wheel. I said, can I play Vanna? I'll just stand there and spin. Spin. $20. Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, we did have a great day. It was a good day. And I mean, like, listen, what you just heard right now was an experience. It was a couple minutes. We went to a booth, CPA, and we're probably going to be doing business with this group as Epostle. And as they were introducing us to their products, they did so with a wheel in the corner. And that wheel, you know, mimicked the Wheel of Fortune that everybody knows. You see, using something that everybody knows, it becomes the means by which they were introducing their product. And their product, of course, you know, on that wheel was not just cash money. It wasn't cash money. It was iTunes, it was blogging, and other things that allowed you to interact with the product that CPA had. And it got us thinking, you know, ding, 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 ding. Doesn't it like light up the light bulbs in your head and set off the bells and whistles like, hey, opportunities, using those resources. Obviously, that booth was not about Vanna White. It wasn't about Wheel of Fortune. The wheel became a means by which to introduce their product. And likewise, we have these means. And the new media is that means. And so why shouldn't we be putting the church on there, right? Why shouldn't the church be using that new media? If the evangelist used a pen and paper at one time to get the message out, and later on that evangelist used photography or used artwork, icons to get the word out, and today uses a computer to get the word out, is he not doing the same mission? Is he not being faithful to what he was doing earlier? In other words, using the tools that God has given him to be able to get it out. So, at the very least, going to Blog World, going to the New Media Expo, at the very least, it gave us an opportunity to really think outside the box, to see new technology, to see new means and experience, really get a hands-on experience of touching stuff. And we're going to put more clips on our website. I want to share some of it. Like I said, you just heard a few minutes. The quality is not there, but it gives you an idea. One thing that we did participate, my sister Anush was with us. And by the way, the voices in that small clip, my sister Anush is in there. Of course, Susie's voice. And the other one that you heard is Ken's sister, Hia. And we were at that particular booth. But you'll be seeing a small little clip of a Ford. Ford was there too, and you know, here it is, using technology again. And there is going to be a small little clip that we'll put on our website. We're going to run a contest too, because we had a couple of our ladies decorate that Ford, and it was exciting. We were, of course, at the Southwest booth. If you follow us on Twitter, you would have noticed the picture change, and Susie even picked up a free trip on Southwest. So all of you on the East Coast, I think she has her sight set on you people. Maybe drop her a line, give her some suggestions. Wouldn't that be wild? Southwest, yes, we're talking about only America. We're only in the continental United States. But still, quite a vast expanse. Anyway, congratulations on that too, Susie. Anyway, a lot of good things happened over there. And like I said, at the very least, we were able to think outside the box. At the very most, we were able to network with people. We were able to really push ourselves to meet some new relationships. And this is what I was saying earlier about we really realized that we were ahead of the game. Because as much as we were learning from the others, they were learning from us. We were telling them about what we were doing and the excitement, the enthusiasm. And it really, we are in a small little niche place. Obviously, we're not the only religious group. We were the only religious group, by the way, at New Media Expo. But obviously, a quick scan on iTunes or a Google search will yield a lot of people who are using media to get the word out. But I'm really proud to say that we do have a niche area when it comes to Armenian Orthodoxy. In other words, this idea of taking Christ's message and really going back to the roots, apostolic evangelism, like what Thaddeus and Bartholomew brought over to Armenia, this unadulterated, this clean version of what Christ's message was, and applying it to our situation, applying it to our world here in the 21st century, basically to an expanding and electronic universe. So that's it. That's what we got from Blog World. I'll be writing about it. Check out our website. We'll be making a lot more comments about it because it was exciting. But of course, whenever we hear this harp, it could tell us only one thing. That it's getting crowded in here. I don't know how we fit everybody into this place. No, the harpist is always welcome, and along with her, of course, more welcome is Ani. Here's Ani with today's bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is about smiles. A smile costs nothing, but gives much. It enriches those who receive without making poorer those who give. It takes a moment, but the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None is so rich or mighty that he can get along without it, and none is so poor but that he can't be made rich by it. A smile creates happiness in the home, it fosters goodwill in business, and is the countersign of friendship. It brings rest to the weary, cheer to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and it's nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen, for it is something that is of no value to anyone until it is given away. Some people are too tired to give you a smile. Give them one of yours, as none needs a smile so much as he who has no more to give. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the winds with smiles to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. That was beautiful. Put a smile on my face. I know it did to all of our listeners as well. I appreciate that. I was wondering how you were going to end that. That was just beautiful. And it's obvious, right? Yeah, you got to give those smiles away. And to who? Well, to so many people who need them. And we've got to include all of us in there. I think that that's the point of it. We all relate to it because we all need a smile. There are days when it just is difficult to smile. And that smile really changes something. What is that expression it takes? You know, I shouldn't say this now. I really shouldn't say this after that such a beautiful bubble. But now that I got your interest, I will have to disclose this. There was something about, like, it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. It takes less work to smile, so don't frown. But I think some college student or somebody just had to disprove that, and they found out that, no, it's easier to frown. But as easy as it might be, don't do it, okay? I'm sorry I disclosed that. What was I going to do? Okay, I started telling the story, and I had to do it. Listen to Ani, don't listen to me when it comes to smiles. Hey, listen, here's Susie with today's announcement.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. Always appropriate, yes. Especially right now, we're talking about what technology can do for the church to get the mission going. And hey, if you believe in it, if you believe in all that we've saying, it takes money to do it. And that there is no kidding about. This is a costly venture, but I think at the end it is well worth it when we see the responses, when we see the different places that we've been hitting thanks to this ministry. I mean, when I think of all the people that I've had a chance to meet thanks to Apostle, thanks to this Next Step getting out there. I mean, it is incredible. These are people that otherwise would have been alienated, perhaps continued to be disenfranchised from the church, but they're seeing an opportunity where they can plug in. And this is all because of your generosity, because of the prayers that you have and financially making it work. But we do need those donations to be regular. And you could contribute, like Susie said, on our website. You could drop us a note. We have expanded our programming. I'm very happy to say that we're now just 3 weeks into our Armenian language Bible studies, which take place every Monday morning. We have Mashtoch Jobanyan, who is doing that podcast. It's actually a vodcast. You get to see video. It's just every Monday morning, Pacific Daylight Time, 10 a.m. So figure it out, whatever it is in your area. You could just watch it. Just tune into apostle.net and watch it. And of course, every Wednesday evening, we have the Questions and Faith series. Last night was really, really exciting. We had some people on there that were asking questions, and actually it became a dialogue between the people watching as well and us in Glendale. Now, that's a little bit more difficult to work out, because we realize that it is 7:30 Pacific Daylight Time that we podcast or vodcast the Questions in Faith series. So I realize that most of the world is asleep at that time, at least most of the world that would watch us. But still, you can go to ePostle and check out the broadcast, and they are all preserved in archive form. Yeah, it's not as exciting as interacting, but they are there. And, you know, this is a library that's just growing. It keeps growing. And again, thanks to you. Thanks to the generosity. Thanks to the prayers. The prayers are very important. Now, let me tell you one more thing that you can do. And this really takes no time at all. Forward the links. Put it on Facebook. Tweet about it. Send this podcast. You know, just take the link and send it and say, hey, this is the Next Step podcast. I mean, you do it with all kinds of corny things. You know, people put death threats on these things, like send this out to 5 of your friends. And if not, you know, the truck's going to speed over your house and everything. You know, there's no threats on this. I mean, if you don't do it, I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? People aren't going to get to hear what Armenian Orthodoxy is about, what the original message of Jesus is all about. So get this out. And make it a regular part. You know, spend a few days, I wish you'd spend a few days. Spend a few minutes every day. And make that part of your apostle ministry, where you get the word out and share it with other people. It's very, very important. Now you say, well, what is apostle about? What is Armenian Orthodoxy about? You've talked about Las Vegas. You've talked about the different things over here, earthquake drills, and you gave us a whole bunch of stuff. What does this all have to do with Armenian Orthodoxy? Glad you asked.
Hinet sava bayts nore ora imne ora yev huisen nora yes I'd come napsos us haskatsa u yerp armatneris veradartsa ints getashemin him ganzarani դրան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին.
Now, usually I talk about the spiritual message somewhere before the end. I've saved it for the end today. It's actually the beginning of everything that we do. Of course, today was more of an introspection. It was a podcast about podcasting, about what we're doing at ePostle, which is very important to take a moment to stretch out and look at yourself and evaluate. Are you doing things right? You know, coming back from a conference like that, you want to be able to look at yourself and say, how can we improve what we're doing? But you have to remember that there is a reason that you're doing something, that it has a mission. And that mission has to be at the center of all that you do. It has to be the nucleus. And around it, you start developing, you start building. All good companies work like this. All successful companies or organizations, let's say. Let's expand it to organizations. And therefore, the church too needs to be aware of its mission statement. Did you hear what I said? Aware of it. Because a lot of times people forget that the church does have a mission statement. We say, well, let's develop a mission statement for the church. No, you can't. You can't develop a mission statement for the church. The church doesn't belong to you to be able to develop that mission statement. And I've heard this many, many times. Let's think about a mission. The mission statement is very clear. It's given to us by Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, especially in the ethnic churches, ethnic Orthodox churches, this mission statement gets lost because the emphasis is put on the ethnicity, on the nationality. And specifically, I'm talking like Armenian Orthodox Church, Romanian Orthodox Church, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Serbian Orthodox. Where's the emphasis? On the national part. And what happens is that Orthodox part gets thrown into a second category. Technically, there is only one Orthodox church. Technically, there is only one church. Now, you may want to talk in Armenian or in Russian or in Bulgarian, because obviously that language is the tool, is the means, is the media by which you disseminate the information. But that is not the emphasis of your church. And when you lose sight of this, what happens is that you fail. You fail in doing the work that you're supposed to do. And this is one of the big failings of the Christian church today, is they've lost sight of mission. And so when you see that the churches are empty, when you see that people are alienated, disenfranchised, especially from the ethnic, more traditional churches, because the church has opted to go after nationality, has opted to go after structure, has opted to go after form instead of mission, then you understand why. You understand that it is because they have abandoned the central or the centrality of that of the mission. Well, you say, where is the mission? And this is where we come to today's message, because last Sunday, the gospel reading happened to be about the mission of the Christian church. It is when Jesus comes out of the wilderness after spending 40 days. Remember, he is baptized at age 30 at the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Immediately after his baptism, he goes into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan himself. He is tempted by all the trappings of this world, and he refuses them one by one, and finally evil leaves. Evil cannot compete against the good. Evil cannot stand a chance, cannot even lift its head in the presence of love incarnate. And Jesus Christ comes to his own people. And at the first chance that he gets, we read this in Luke chapter 4, he says he came into Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue as was his custom, and on the Sabbath day, he stood up and read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book, found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, it says, and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, this is the mission statement of Christ. That's right, it is. It was. This is the mission statement. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me." Christos, anointing, the Messiah. He is the anointed one, and this is his mission. And therefore, logically, by all means necessary, this is the mission statement, therefore, of his body, the church. And you can't escape it. In other words, our mission as his holy church, as his holy body, is that we are here to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's it. And this is what we need to be in tune with from top to bottom. And unfortunately, we're not there. Today, you walk into any church and you've got 20 different mission statements by the different members of the congregation. You walk into any clergy meeting, you've got 20 different mission statements from the members of the clergy. You walk into any high gathering of hierarchy and you've got many different mission statements. And why not? The Catholicos has one mission statement, the bishops have another, and ideally, yes, they should be all the same, but they're not. And people say, well, let's form a mission statement. You don't need to. It's already here. You see, because Christ's message was so pure, and his mission was God-given. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Not talking about just getting up there and going out to the local Skid Row and rescue missions and saying, you're poor and Jesus loves you. No, we're talking about the message that is delivered to each and every one of us, whose heart is poor, whose pockets may be full, but we live in this emptiness where we have cell phones and we have Twitter accounts and we have Facebooks and we have all technology all around us to be able to reach the ends of the earth. And yet we feel an emptiness, a loneliness, because we're poor. The days don't sync. They're out of mesh. They don't sync with one another. Something's missing. There's a poorness. There's a poverty that each of us feels. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. How are you going to be released? By the warden coming and opening your cell door? Of course. And that warden is us. Relieving one another from the guilt, from the pain, from the difficulties that keep us bound in captivity. We call that sin. And so Christ gives us an opportunity for all of us to be relieved of our sins. You are forgiven, is the message he proclaimed. You are forgiven, is the message as a church we need to proclaim. Recovery of sight to the blind. Who are the blind people? People without eyeballs? Whose sockets are empty? No. It's you and me. It's us. Looking around our world and not seeing the beauty that's there. Focusing on the negativity of life and not seeing the beauty of one flower growing in the pavement. And saying, hey, this is what life is about. We may try to plaster over all that God has created. And yet life will come through. Will find its place through the cracks of life. And it will poke its head. And it will be victorious over the difficulties that we have. You see, the mission of the church is what guides us. The mission of the church is what tells us where our focus needs to be, where our vision needs to be focused. And so when we stand up and when we talk about different things in the church, it all has to connect to this mission. If you're talking about something else, it is not part of the church. And so you have a litmus test. You have a test right here that can tell you, is this with the church or is it not? Does it fall into one of these categories? Are you preaching good news to the poor? Are you giving recovery of sight to the blind? Are you proclaiming release to the captives? Are you freeing the oppressed? If you are, then that's the church. If you're not, then don't pretend to be something called the church. And when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, that's where Armenian Orthodoxy begins. It begins with this mission statement. And if you think about it for a moment, think about exactly those words about preaching good news to the poor, about proclaiming release, about giving sight, about giving liberty. These are concepts that didn't start with Jesus. These are concepts that begin from the beginning of time. And that's where Armenian Orthodoxy, Armedoxy, begins. The beginning of time. And this mission statement is ours. Now, listen to this. Just a couple weeks ago, in Great Britain, the Druidry Network was officially recognized as a religion. Druidry was officially recognized as a religion under charity laws. Let me read from this little press release. It says, the Charity Commission has granted Druid Network charitable status, giving it tax breaks and equal status to mainstream religions like Christianity. The commission said Saturday that Druidry has a coherent and serious set of beliefs and that it offers a beneficial ethical framework. It also says that Druid Network's work in promoting Druidry as a religion is in the public interest. Druidry is an ancient pagan tradition that dates back thousands of years in Britain, Druids worship deities characterized as natural forces, such as thunder and sun, and spirits that they believe arise from places such as mountains and rivers. Okay, one man's, I'm not here to criticize one man's religion, as I don't think anybody else should be out there criticizing another man's religion for themselves, right? Obviously, you can criticize somebody else's for what you want, for what you believe. It works for you, it doesn't work for you. But you don't have a right to say that that man doesn't have a right to believe this. Obviously. Is it hurting anybody? Is it doing something? You want to believe that the clouds have life in them? You want to believe the water has life in you? I happen to believe in a savior who was crucified and came back to life. And equally doubtful to people who don't believe, right? Okay, that's not the point here. What we're making the point is, here for the first time, I'm reading what are the criteria for religion. The commission said that Druidry has a coherent and serious set of beliefs that it offers beneficial ethical framework. That's it. So based on this criteria, it is granted a status as religion. It has a serious set of beliefs, and it offers a beneficial ethical framework, I guess, for life, for living. Now think about that for a moment. Think about it. This is the criteria that has been set up. This is what's been offered to us. And when you look at Armenian Orthodoxy, you have the purest of pure. You have the ability to plug into an ethical framework that is really the framework of not a religion, but of the universe. It is the ethical framework of the universe. Why did things begin? Why is there evil in the world? How can you combat evil? How can you know that good triumphs over evil? It's all there. It's all there. And when we talk about Armodoxy, it is a faith that offers an answer to all the questions that come up in life. Now I'm going to continue on this next week. I'm going to leave it as a hanging, because I got to tell you, when we're talking about the mission statement of the church, it bothered me because on one of the websites of one of the churches, one of the Armenian churches, I saw this bashing of Halloween. You can't bash Halloween without any good cause, can you? Well, next week I want to talk about it because Halloween's coming up. I want to talk about this in the context of a mission statement, specifically this mission statement that I shared with you today, Christ's mission statement. I mean, why is it that one person in a church can get up and bash Halloween, another person could advocate for it? Why is it that somebody can get up and bash homosexuality and another can advocate for it? Why is it that somebody can talk about abortion freely and the other could bash it up and down? I mean, there has to be some adherence to a mission, to a cause, a central theme. That's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be talking about Druids again. We're going to be talking about some Pew research that came about. That's going to surprise you too. So all of this will be coming up next week. And I know we spent a little extra time today talking about epostle.net, but it's important because, you know, that's the means by which we are working with the new generation. We are working with the new media for the new generation, for the expanding and electronic world.
No bread.
We are just glad that you're just part bread of it, and we invite you again next week. Hey, I want to invite you before that to join us on our website, inissues.org, as well as epostle.net, where you'll find this podcast, as well as all the other podcasts we put together, as well as our regular shows that we have during the week, Monday morning, Wednesday evening, whatever it may be. It all begins at epostle.net. We want to also welcome aboard a new producer. We have Datev Abrahamian, who is now producing the Armenian Bible Studies. So welcome, Datev. We have Susie, our producer, Datev Ani with her bubbles. We have Ken up in the booth. And for all of them, this is Father Vosky, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.